It is good to see everybody today, and we are looking at a message that we began last week. The title is, There is a Way, and it is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, and it deals with the way of escape that is presented in the King James Version of verse 13 there. Escape at basis in the Greek, E-K-B-A-S-I-S. And it means a way out or a going out. It means an outcome or a result with a purpose. So we're going to look at this narrow garden pathway that the Lord walks with us. It's wide enough for us to walk arm in arm in yoke with our Lord as we go through the storms of life. And we're going to look at what the Scripture says. And we're going to look at four precious words, I believe, in the New Testament. And those words are, for I have learned. So 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says this, there hath no temptation or trial or tribulation or storm taken you, but such as is common to man. Now, we looked at that last week. Anytime you get in a problem, anytime you get to go through hard times, the devil wants to isolate you. He wants you, number one, to feel like you're the only one that's ever had to face something like this. Or number two, he wants you to think that you need to be ashamed and embarrassed and go get on an island or sit in a corner and isolate yourself from your brothers and sisters in Christ. So all our trials and all our tribulations are common. They're common in the sense that other folks have dealt with, will deal with, or are dealing with what we're going through. And secondly, we need to carry one another's burdens. So don't let the devil lie to you and get you away from your brothers and sisters in Christ. God is faithful. He's perfect. He's omniscient. He knows all and he knows what is best. He will not allow you to be tried above your spiritual capability. So whatever is allowed to come into your life, God's going to grow you up. He's going to grow you up spiritually in a way in which you can handle it if you choose to go down this path. Now, folks misquote this verse and they'll say, boy, I know the word says God will never put on you more than you can bear. Well, that's not what the verse says. The verse didn't say God put it on. Most of what you face in life, you put on yourself. Or you brought it into your life. But what God is saying here is whatever predicament or dire circumstances you find yourself in, there is a way to turn this to your good and God's glory. That's what he's saying. There is a way. And will with every trial and temptation, he will make a way that will bring you to an expected end or outcome. And if you keep these thoughts in your mind, you will be able to bear this trial or carry this trial productively in a spiritual manner. Now, I've been studying a whole lot of Greek for the last little while out of one of the best Greek commentaries ever. I've had it for 30 years and got back in it. So that's why I'm paraphrasing and adding the Greek as I read it, because that's how Weiss does it. And so that's what it means. You'll be able to bear it. And folks will say, God will never put on us more than we can bear. That's not what the Scripture says. It's almost like you're already burdened down and you're already trying to carry it. No, so that you can come through it productively. He wants you walking through this thing upright. He doesn't want you weighted down crawling through it with 5 tons of burdens on your heart. So we're going to examine part D of this, and I'll share that with you in a moment. If you break it down into A, B, C, D, and E, we're going to examine that pathway of education. Let's go to Jesus. Father, as we call upon you today, I ask for forgiveness of daily sin and weekly sin that I confess to you out loud in my prayer closet. I just did it again a moment ago. even though I know you've already forgiven me and you forget and you wash me and cleanse me by your blood. But I'm human. So Father, I pray for that cleansing by your blood. If we confess our sins, you are faithful, as Paul said here and John says there, to forgive us our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And I pray, Lord Jesus, for an anointing and a filling of your Holy Spirit so that we can study together. And I pray, Lord Jesus, for a spirit of humility to wash the feet of these who are listening. Holy Spirit, though you're the perfect teacher, so right now I'm asking, Heavenly Father, that your Spirit will speak to our hearts. Father, what we're going to pray this prayer. What do I need to hear from you today, Lord Jesus? Would you pray that prayer with me? What do I need to hear from you today, Lord Jesus? Holy Spirit, take over. We are here to glorify you. We're here to learn of you and from you. And we're here to be helped. And we're here to be changed. We're here to be encouraged, Lord Jesus, and convicted where need be. And we're here, Lord, to have a shout of victory, as we already sang about earlier, in our daily lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for forgiveness and mercy and grace and the patience you have with us. Thank you for your anointing, Father. May your Holy Spirit lead us now in your name. Amen. All right, in the King James, it says, with each trial, he will provide a way of escape. God has made, but will make a way to escape. But if you paraphrase it in the Greek, what we're reading here is, but with each specific trial, God has made a pathway of purpose through it to bring you out. So, I want you to understand something. We're talking about a time element here. We're talking about a time element. That there is a pathway through it to bring you out. Now, you know what our focus is, and it's my focus, and it's your focus. When we run into dire circumstances, when we find ourselves in the midst of a storm, we want the way out. We want out. All right? We want out. This is the prayer, and I shared this last week. Get us out of this, Lord Jesus. Don't let this happen, Lord Jesus. We need a miracle, Lord Jesus. Immediate delivery. Now, I want you to understand something. There's nothing wrong with that prayer. You pray it every day. Pray it every day you're going through a trial. That is one school of thought. It's a faithful school of thought. What you're doing is you're depending on the omnipotent God to do a miracle in your life. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing at all. Every day you pray for the healing. Every day you pray for the miracle. Every day you pray for the deliverance. Just by the hand of God to reach down and snatch out or change you or whatever needs to be done. That is a wonderful part of the prayer. But the second school of thought, which this verse encompasses, that also needs to be added, and I'll show you that in a moment. You can pray, Lord, get us out of this. Lord, don't let it happen. Lord, we need a miracle. But also pray this, Lord, fulfill your purpose in this. Lord, teach me what it is I need to learn in this. Lord, help me to seek your wisdom in this. And Lord, glorify yourself in this. And you say, wow, Brother Leo, I've never prayed that. I've done a lot of praying, God, get us out. I've done a lot of praying, God, we need a miracle. But I've never prayed, Lord, show me your will in this. Lord, take over my life in this. Lord, I surrender all in this. And you see, my friend, the reason we need to study this, that's probably the main reason you're in the storm. It's the second half of the prayer, not the first half that I just shared with you. So he has a purpose to get you through. So let me show you a prime example. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and let me show you one of the most difficult trials Paul ever experienced. And we're not even sure what it was, but he thought he was going to die. And notice what he says in this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, the scripture says this, "For we would not, brethren, have you to be ignorant of our trouble which we experienced in Asia." So just stop there. He gave the geographic location of where they were, Asia Minor, not the current Asia Minor, but the Middle Eastern Asia of his time. And what he is speaking of there is we were in great, great trouble. We were in a storm. And we were pressed out of measure. I mean, I was getting squeezed in. I can't even explain it. Above my strength, insomuch that I despaired and was concerned over whether or not I was going to live and make it through. Now you say, "Brother Leo, I don't want to be in that kind of situation next week." Well, I don't either, but you may be. We never know. And maybe we've been in these situations before, but Paul came out of this learning two things. And I want to share with you what he learned. We had the sentence of death in ourselves. So maybe they were going to stone him. Maybe the Romans were going to crucify him. I don't know. But we learned that we should not trust in ourselves, but trust in God, which raises the dead. He delivered us from such a great death and continues to deliver us. And now we have gained so much confidence, we trust that in the future, he's going to continue to deliver us. So the first lesson Paul learned was, there are situations in life I cannot depend on my own strength, my own ability, my own wisdom, my own way of figuring things out. Now, I'm going to tell you something, my friend. So all through life, we usually handle situations figuring out, oh, this is the best way to do it. This is the best way to do it, and this is the way we do it. And guess what? Once we decide what the best way it is to do it, to get ourselves through this situation, you know what we then do? We ask God to bless the plan. God bless his plan. We've weighed the circumstances, we've added the pros, we've subtracted the cons, we've put all this together on a ledger sheet, and now we say, "Lord, this is our plan, here we go, bless it." First thing Paul learned in this situation was, and I'm going to tell you something, you almost have to get in this situation to get broken of that, when you can't depend on your friends, you can't depend on the influences, you can't depend on somebody knowing somebody at the school or at the ball field or in the hospital or at the court system. When you get to that place, then you say, "Take over, God. God, you need to take over this situation. And Lord, I don't know what to do, but I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to ask you to tell me what to do, and whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do it, and I'll know you'll bless me." Instead of saying, "Lord, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to handle it. I'm going to make this phone call. I'm going to get them out of this mess. I'm going to get myself out of this. I'm going to do this, that, and the other." And my friend, you may accomplish exactly what you think you ought to accomplish in all that, but you have not fulfilled the purpose of God. And so guess what? Another trial is going to have to come. Another tribulation. So the first thing he learned was, I'm not going to trust in my abilities, my political influences, all those things. I'm going to trust in God. But notice what he says, the God who raises the dead. Now, that's a no-brainer. You mean I'm going to call my friend down here and see if he can take care of this mess? Or am I going to call on the God who raises the dead? The God who created all the universes. Am I going to call on him first? And just be still, not panic, and say, "Okay, Lord, this is the situation. Please, Lord, move in this situation. Any way you want to move. Not my will and bless it, but thy will be done." And how did Paul learn that? He learned that when he thought he was in a situation where he's going to die. And I believe the Romans were either going to let the Jews stone him or the Romans themselves were going to crucify him. One or the other, he had the sentence of death upon his life. But notice the second thing he learned in verse 11. "You also helped us together in this by your prayer for us that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Now, they helped him financially in this mess, but I want you to also understand he learned to value the prayers of others. Now, hold on to that. He learned to value the prayers of others. I want you to understand that. You ever ask somebody to pray for you? You say, man, I really need you to pray for me in this situation. Well, I'm going to tell you something, my friend. When I ask somebody to pray for me, I'm serious about that. I really need you to pray for me in this situation. And I value your prayers. I've had a lot of people have said, Brother Leo, pray for me. And I know they didn't really mean it. They're just kind of trying to cover all the bases, you know, in a religious sense. But I want you to understand, they learn to value the prayers of others. And when you're in a situation and you know other people have prayed for you, that makes you a better prayer warrior when other people are asking you to pray for them. Lehman and I talked about this a couple weeks ago, and he said, I've begun practicing when people ask me to pray for them, I say, yeah, I'll pray for you. Matter of fact, I'm going to pray for you right now. And he said, if we're in the hall at the hospital, or we're out there at the car lot or wherever we are, I bow my head and we start praying right now. And he said, you know, Brother Leo, sometimes I feel like them folks are embarrassed. And you know, and they're the ones that ask me to pray for. Isn't that the truth? And you know, they'll go by and they'll say, but boy, I really need you to pray for them. And I'll say, well, hey, let's go in and pray right now. And Lehman said, you know, and they start kind of looking around. Somebody going to see us praying here. Out in the parking lot. Well, that shows you just how serious they are. Because we're used to saying it. In the Bible Belt, we've said it for 40. Oh, pray for me. Oh, you want me to pray for you? Let's pray right now. Oh, man, yeah, that fella prayed. He got down on his knees right there in the shopping mall. He started praying. What in the world going on? Well, are you serious about it or are you not? Are you serious about it or are you not? And so Paul learned two things in that situation. Number one, he learned there are situations where I cannot trust in myself. Probably in any situation, I need to trust in God first. And then he learned the value of others praying for him and of him praying for others. So go with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. For I have learned. For I have learned. Four greatest words. What's the last trial you've been through? What's worrying you right now? What is tearing you up? What is keeping you awake at night? You know, what is the biggest problem you have in your life right now? What is the cause of anxiety and emotional discomfort? And I want to go through all that. You know, what's tearing you up? What's been tearing you up for years? Now I want to ask you something. What have you learned? What have you learned? Well, if you can't answer that and can't answer it directly and spiritually, well then, my friend, that's why. It's time you got serious and learned something that God is trying to teach you. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, he says this, Paul says this. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. Would you say that with me? For I have learned. Would you say that again? For I have learned. Now I want you to think about that a moment. Fill in that blank. For I have learned. What have you learned? What have you learned through the difficult times of your life in the last 10 years? That has changed your outlook, changed your perspective, changed the way you handle things. Yeah, God is faithful in these things, and we ought to have an answer. Like Paul said, you know, God delivered me. God's delivering me now. God's going to deliver me in the future. Paul learned. We panicked 6 months ago. We're going to panic today. We're going to panic 6 months from now. You're not able to say, hey, God delivered me then. I know He'll deliver me in the future. He learned to have that confidence in God. And it's something we got to learn. So Paul says, I've learned. In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. So what did Paul learn? He learned contentment. And how did he learn it? He learned it because he was very poor. He knew how to be abased. He knew how to handle prosperity. Everywhere and in all things, I've been instructed. I have been taught by God what it feels like to be full of food and what it feels like to be hungry. I've been taught by God what it feels like to have everything I need and what it feels like to have nothing that I need. Americans can't say that. We can't say we've learned that lesson. We can't say we know what it feels like to be hungry and not knowing where our next meal's coming from. We don't know what it feels like to not have a roof over our head. We don't know what it feels like to look in a closet and there be no shoes there, or there to be no shirt there, or to be no clothes there. And in all of that, we have not learned how to be content with what we have in the overabundance of blessings. So I want you to pray that prayer if you have a problem with that. Now, I don't. I have a lot of problems, but contentment ain't one of my problems. You know, I'm content. You know, I got one pair of shoes to preach in and another one to do a funeral in. You know, Patty told me, I'd tell Bert. So I said, Patty said, I got to get a new pair of suit pants from Mary's wedding. He goes, she did. I said, yeah, so I need an advance. I need an advance on this deal. And we laughed. And I said, I'm serious. She's hauling me out to get, you know, I'd just soon do it in khakis and a sport coat. But I guess that ain't going to fly. But I mean, I'm content, but there are people that aren't content. And so Paul says, I've learned. And then look at what he learned in verse 13. He says, I've learned I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And then in verse 19, he has learned that God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, how did he learn those two things? He learned those two things by having situations in life where he had nothing. No clothes, no meal, no house, no protection, no medicine, no nothing. And he learned, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because it was only the strength of Christ that got me through, and that my needs were provided eventually by God and God himself. So you may never go through that situation, but you've got to learn in your hard times, God wants you to learn something. So it's okay to go ahead and pray and say, Lord Jesus, what is it you're trying to teach me? Father, teach me. Let me realize. And you have to get to a point where you're sincerely and in a focused manner, you're seeking the wisdom of God as you go through this situation. Say, Lord, I want a manifestation of the wisdom of God. I was sharing with Mike. He was talking about the wedding for Daniel and Kylie. And I had tons of stuff, you know, because I know them personally. And I had it written out, and I had dates written out. But Daniel did his own vows, and Kylie did her own vows. And then I had stuff I was going to do. And one part of Daniel's vows was, and it tore me up. He looked her dead in the eye and he said, apart from the day of my salvation, this is the greatest day of my life. And I said, here we are out here on the West Coast, and those people heard that, and it was a powerful statement. And Kylie had done hers and he did his second. And then when they finished, the Holy Spirit spoke to me clearly, there's nothing to add to this. There's absolutely nothing to add to this. So I turned two pages over in the little book I had, and I went straight to the ring vows. And you might not think that's a major deal, but that's how God works. He will tell you directly what you need to do as things unfold in your life when you are seeking the wisdom of God. And if you're in a trial or a tribulation today and you're saying, you know, Brother Leo, I really just don't know what to do. I don't know whether to move forward, or I don't know whether to go this way, or I don't know whether to get involved or stay out of involvement. You need to seriously seek the wisdom of God, because He wants you to know. Paul said assuredly, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he said assuredly, God will provide my needs by his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. You are to know assuredly, it's just like 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you, that you may know that you possess eternal life. I have people been in church all their lives, and they'll say, Brother Leo, I sure hope I get to heaven, and oh, goodness, are you serious? There's no hoping about it. If you're hoping, you're not saved. I want you to understand, what are you basing your hope on? That you've done enough good works to get there? Well, bonk, you're not there. That's not the right answer. I know that I'm going to heaven because Jesus Christ died for my sins. I committed my life to him at a certain point. I received his Holy Spirit as my indwelling earnest of my inheritance. And I was washed in his blood. And you know. And if that's never happened to you, then you don't have that assurity. Go to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, let me show you what he learned here. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, Paul speaking about being in prison, he said this, but I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And in verse 19, he says, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body here in prison, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, you say, Brother Leo, what did Paul learn, or what is he telling us as he's been in prison? When we're going through a rough situation, two or three things ought to happen. Number one, we ought to draw closer unto the Lord. And as we draw closer unto the Lord, we need to get conscious that, hey, this is an opportunity for, look at what he says there. Look at what he says in verse 12, for the furtherance of the gospel. You know what you want to do when you go through a hard time? You want to use the situation as a part of your witness. And with boldness, you want to glorify the God. You want to glorify God. And with boldness, you want to share with people how it is that it's God that is getting you through this situation. Notice what he says there. He goes, that I will not be ashamed. I will have boldness to magnify Christ. Have you ever prayed that prayer as you went through a storm? You know, while we're praying, God, I need a miracle. God, get me out of this. Let's stop and say, Lord Jesus, as I go through this, may you be magnified in my life. Brother Bill, I never thought to pray that. That's because you're living on the horizontal, man. You're just totally horizontal. It's all about comfort. It's all about ease. It's all about everything going good and everything being well and everything being wonderful. Listen, when Adam and Eve sinned, this world fell. And Jesus did not lie to you when he said, in this world, you are going to have tribulation. And a lot of it. Like Tony said, been a long time since his body hadn't felt pain. Been a long time since our lives have not felt pain. We're going to feel pain. We're going to go through hard times. None of us are perfect. And even if you are, I want you to understand something. You're not going to live to yourself. You're not going to die to yourself. And you're not going to sin to yourself. You say, Brother Leo, what do you mean? My life affects others. My death is going to affect others. And my sin affects others. You don't live to yourself. So you may be living right smack dab in the middle of God's will, but somebody you love very dearly may not be. So you're going to have tribulation. And the more people you love, the more tribulations you're going to be involved in. And the more things are going to hurt your heart. But the bottom line is, in all of this, Christ is God. And we love him, and we draw closer to him, and we focus on him. And I'm going to tell you something. If there is much tribulation in this life, it is because there is much for us to learn. And there's much for us to have an opportunity to glorify God. And so here he is in prison, wrongly, and he's saying, man, my whole goal is to magnify the Lord in all this. To bring glory unto God in all this. Now, is that not a beautiful prayer? When you got a lot of people that are praying, Lord, cover our backside in this. Lord, let me get out of this. Lord, let me squeeze by. Lord, let me cheat, let me lie, let me steal, but just don't let me get caught. And that's the way we pray. And I'm going to tell you something, I feel sorry for those kind of prayers. You're going to miss out life, man. Life is wonderful and life is beautiful, but you got to be open and honest with God. And you got to allow the vertical, that perspective to take over. Go with me to Psalm 143, and I'll move quickly here. There is a way, but that is the way of education. The Lord's trying to teach you something. Now, David could be in a cave writing this. He's in tribulation. He's in trial. He's under attack. But in Psalm 143, verse 6, he says, I stretch forth my hands unto you, O God. My soul thirst after you in a thirsty land. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit fails me. I'm falling apart. Hide not your face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. He's in the pit emotionally, mentally, spiritually. And that's okay. He's sharing his emotions, but look at what he says. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. Grab that. Lord, cause me to know the pathway that you want me to walk as I go through this. You ever prayed that? Well, Brother Leo, goodness, no. We didn't even know that was in here. Well, read it. If you're listening by internet, I'm talking to you. I'm not talking to these wonderful people in this building that pay my salary. Read it. I didn't even know I was in there, Brother Leo. I know there's a clearance at JCPenney, but I didn't know that was in there. And notice what he says. I lift up my soul unto you. Deliver me, O Lord. I flee unto you to hide me. Now here we go, verse 10. This is number two. Number one is, show me the pathway to walk in. Number two is, verse 10, teach me to do your will as I go through this. You ever prayed that? Teach me to do your will. Not God, here's the plan, bless it. Not God, get us out of this. Not God, we need a miracle. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. This is 1 Corinthians 10:13. He's leading you through it and then out of it. And when you get out of it, you're going to be better spiritually. You're going to be stronger spiritually. But as you go through it, you're going to be better spiritually. You're going to be stronger spiritually. He's trying to change your entire perspective. He's trying to change the total way you look at life. He's trying to change what you think is important to find out what he knows is important. But he can't do it by letting you sit on a mountaintop thinking everything's okay. There are going to be things that come into our life. And the important thing is that we say, Lord, teach me as I go through this. But notice what he says in verse 11. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of this trouble. Two ways of praying. Lord, I need a miracle. Get me out of this. Get me through it. But also, your will be done. Teach me what I need to learn. Draw me closer to you. Most people just pray that one part of it. Get us out of this. Get us out of this. Psalm 27. I'll close with Psalm 27. I got tons more, but I guess that was just for me. Psalm 27. See, I need this more than y'all. Because the Lord gives me all these extra scriptures. In Psalm 27, if we were to read verse 1 through 8, David is just claiming all these beautiful promises. He's got all these enemies coming against him. You can take it home and read. But he's saying in verse 3, my heart is not going to fear. Of this one thing, I'm going to be confident. I want to go back to being able to get out of this cave and go into the temple of God in verse 4. In time of trouble, he has set me upon a rock. And he's in these caves, in these mountains. I will sing praises unto the Lord. But notice what it says in verse 7. He says, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. And this is what the Lord said unto him. He said, seek my face. David's telling you a prayer. And he said, Lord, I'm calling on you. I need to hear from you. And the Lord said to him, seek my face. That's not what he asked. He asked to get out of it. What does it mean to seek the face of God? You're seeking His guidance, His will, His approval. Seek my face, Leah. Just seek me. And then notice what he says there. When you said that, I said, Lord, thy face, O Lord, I will seek. And in verse 11, he says, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain pathway, because I'm under attack from all sides. Now, if you don't pray that prayer, you are going to get slaughtered spiritually. Because if you've got enemies on all sides, there is only one pathway of safety and guidance and righteousness and blessing. So if you're not seeking the wisdom of God, you're going to stray off that path and whack, they're going to jump all over you. They're going to jump all over you. And I'm not saying this to scare you. I'm just sharing with you common spiritual sense. Because we panic when things come up and arise instead of stilling ourselves. I read one author a couple of weeks ago, and he said, man is the only animal that runs as fast as he can toward trouble. And it's true. Man is the only, every other animal runs away from it. Man runs right smack dab into it as fast and as hard as he can. Either out of selfishness, out of carnal desire, out of addiction, out of bitterness, whatever. Man will run right into trouble or out of confusion. Because you know what man thinks? And Swindoll wrote this. It's coming back to me now. He said, people have actually been taught, when something comes up, just do something. Even if it's wrong, do something. And Swindoll says, no. When something comes up, make sure whatever it is that you do is the right thing. And it's the God thing. David says it this way. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me plainly in the path that is your way. So whatever it is you're facing today, my prayer for you and your prayer for yourself should be that you will know that you know, as a result of the wisdom of God being imparted unto you, that you are in a plain path through it, that is going to lead you out of it. But as you go through it, you are going to learn what it is God is trying to teach you. To make your life better and to make you a better witness to others. For I have learned, would you say that with me? For I have learned. Hadn't you learned so much in your life in other ways? I learned how to feed horses as a young guy. You say, what do you mean, Brother Leo? How'd you learn how to feed horses? Well, when I was young, we had a Pinto and we had a strawberry roan March Tacky. And the March Tacky was a gelding. He was a wonderful, wonderful horse. But I went to feed him sweet feed one day, and the March Tacky thought I was feeding the Pinto first. And he reached over and took a huge hunk out of my arm. And you know what I learned from that? You learn to feed that March Tacky first. No. What I learned was I would feed them both at the same time. I'd come up and I'd dump them because the troughs were right there. Wasn't nothing to it. Bucket of sweet feed, two buckets. You could just walk up and put them both in. But I put one down and I leaned in to do the other one. And Strawberry got upset. So you say, wow, brother. So you learned that? Yeah, I learned that. And you go, wow, that's not a hard lesson to learn. No, it's sure not. But I want you to understand, God's looking down on us and saying, how many times I got to send a horse to bite their arm off? Because they are not learning. And the reason we're not learning is because our perspective as we go through a trial is solve the problem, God. Get us out of the problem, God. Do this, God. Instead of, hey, now I've got your attention. Focus on me. And then your prayer is, lead me in a plain path. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. I'm going to ask Judy to play softly. Take a few moments to meet with the Lord. And say, Lord, and throw your situation out. It may be major, it may even be minor. But it doesn't hurt to practice on these minor things because God wants involvement in those things also. And say unto Him, Lord Jesus, what am I to do? I've been telling you what I'm going to do and what I need you to do. But Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to proceed? What is it you want me to learn? How will you impart to me your wisdom? Paul said, for I have learned to not trust in myself, but to trust in God. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, take a few moments to meet with the Lord. And hopefully you can have this week, for I have learned moment spiritually in your life.